And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on Positive Talk Radio, KKZZ, AM 1400 in Ventura County. Every show has a theme. Today's theme is communicating. My first guest communicated how to have a rich and free lifestyle, whether you're an entrepreneur or an employee. My next guest is CEO of one of the world's most prestigious marketing firms. He redefined marketing strategy and marketing thinking back in the 1980s. He changed the business lexicon forever when he introduced the term positioning to marketers. If you want to join in the conversation and talk to Jack Trout, you can call us at 639-0008. Jack Trout is the president of Trout & Partners. They are headquartered in Old Greenwich, Connecticut, and they have offices in 13 countries. Jack started his business career in the advertising department of General Electric. Very good training ground. From there, he went on to become a divisional advertising manager at Uniroyal. He later joined Al Rees in an advertising and marketing strategy firm, and they worked together there for over 26 years. With Rees, he co-authored the industry classic, Positioning, The Battle of Your Mind, published way back in 1980. In 85, he and Rees wrote a second book, Marketing Warfare, and then they went on to write Bottom-Up Marketing. And on his own, he wrote the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing, The New Positioning, The Power to Simplify, Differentiate or Die. The list goes on and on and on. His latest book is titled Repositioning, Marketing in an Era of Competition, Crisis and Change. Couldn't be more appropriate. Welcome to the show, Jack. How are you today?
Thank you, Bill. Good.
Well, it's great. Boy, your title, your book is right on target for the times that we have right now. So let's just start with the economy. I mean, the economy from 2007 to 2009 changed marketing rules forever. From your vantage point, what do marketers have to do differently post-recession?
Well, the era of fun and games is over. You saw a lot of that in the, you know, sort of in the exuberant, 2000s. With the recession, we're back to what I consider is a big improvement. We're back to selling value. Uh-huh. That's really the game today. If you can't delineate a value why people should do business with you, you're up against it, or you better have a very good price.
Okay, so
so that's the game out there today, and that's really, in a way, it's pulled us back to where the business was many, many years ago before we get into the, let's have a laugh and be cute.
So the irrational exuberance, as Alan Greenspan would have said, of the markets applied to marketing as
exactly.
Well.
Exactly, kind of screwed up the marketing world, and they kind of drifted away from why buy me and what's the value.
I see. All right. Well, that's very good. So companies really have to focus on their core value. And what if the company doesn't have any core value? I mean, it's just a Me Too product out there. What are they going
to
do?
Well, you have two choices. You have to find you have to create a value in some way, shape, or form, or you got to come up with a low price. Take
okay.
Your pick.
Those two. You can have anything you want as long as it's one of those two. Okay. Well, let's turn our attention to some very specific things, all right? And I want to talk about, in your book, you write crises are game changers, and how do you manage in a crisis? And so to prove this point, let's take a look at two companies, General Motors and Ford, okay? GM took TARP money. They eventually repaid it. Now GM is considering a new IPO to raise more money. Ford, on the other hand, took no TARP money, and they weathered the crisis. So I'm going to ask you from a marketing standpoint, how does each company reposition itself after this crisis?
Well, it's an interesting pair. In a way, Ford, by not taking the money, was able to essentially position themselves, as really basically a solid, we're a solid company that doesn't need this kind of money. We're doing very well, and that's why you should buy cars from us. We're going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a nice concept for them because, in a way, they were able to exploit the fact that GM went bankrupt. So they played that game. Now, GM, on the other part, had to go bankrupt. Now, you might say, well, that's the bad news. What's the good news? Well, the good news for GM is that they were able to, because they went bankrupt, clean out a lot of the brands that they weren't selling much anymore, the ones that were sort of, had become confused, losers, et cetera. And the beauty of that move is when you're bankrupt, you don't have to deal with franchise laws. You don't have to deal with union contracts. You can clean the decks, and they've emerged with four brands.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that should have been done years ago, but they finally were able to clean it up. Now their job is to position those four brands in a successful way. What's a Chevrolet? What's a Buick? What's a Cadillac? What's a GMC? That's their assignment. They're obviously having some success. They have Buicks. They have some very nice, well-designed cars. Chevrolet is picking up some momentum. So in a way, the bankruptcy enabled them to clean up their act, so to speak.
All right. They cleaned house, which was obviously, as you said, long overdue, so I think that's great. Post-crisis, in the mind of the consumer, how do you think Ford did? Did they gain market share in the mind of against General Motors?
Yes, I think they did. But here's the interesting thing. I think they got a short-term bump.
Oh.
If GM emerges now and gets stronger, essentially they'll put more. They're going to put more pressure on our friends at Ford because they got more horses in the race. They got four brands, and Ford doesn't really have that many brands going. So in a way, whether or not Ford can hang on to the gains that they had, it's going to be the interesting question. That's because they got their gains off of the back of a sick GM and a really sick Chrysler.
Okay, interesting. That's cool analysis. Time will tell whether or not Ford does keep its market share or loses market share. I want to change gears for just a little bit and maybe look at companies that aren't quite as big as General Motors and Ford and ask the question, do companies have to grow their brand to survive? And again, I'm going to give you two examples. Consider White Castle, or out here on the West Coast, it's In-N-Out Burger as examples. Can these kinds of companies that are very niche, very specialized, survive in the post-recession economy?
I think so. I mean, look. White Castle has been around since the 20s. I mean, they have survived through all kinds of crises, and that's because essentially they're very unique. They haven't changed their menu. Got those sliders going. It's an amazing brand that has become a bit of an icon. They're not public,
right.
So you know they don't have to be beholden to Wall Street. So they've done very well, as has In-N-Out. In-N-Out is again a very powerful drive-through concept. So in a way, both are well positioned. They're niches, but they're good niches, and they'll do fine because I think those sliders, as we've seen through history, will ride on forever at White Castle, and the more that the In-N-Out crowd can say, look, we'll give you a terrific burger, just drive in, grab it, and off you go.
Nice.
So I think both brands have very long-standing, powerful positions, and they don't need to grow, per se. They're fine.
Good. I like that. All right, we're talking to Jack Trout, everybody, author of the book Repositioning, and a big shout-out to Chip. I know, Chip, you're listening out there. Jack, one of the things that I like to do with guests is what I call the quick fire. I'll give you the names of some companies, and we'll discuss their positioning strategies and just kind of get your top-of-mind reaction to them. Is that okay?
Sure, if I know them, yeah.
Well, I think you will. They're all major brands. I'm going to start with McDonald's.
McDonald's is essentially king of the hill. And McDonald's is essentially, a highly well-run now. They had their problems, a well-run piece of machinery. They're doing fine. From a positioning point of view, the only thing they lack, I don't like their meaningless slogan, I'm loving it. I think that's silly. What McDonald's really has become, and the idea they should drive, is we are the world's favorite place to eat. And believe me, they have the numbers and the locations to support that idea. That's a powerful leadership positioning strategy.
All right. Now, that is great because, as you said at the top of the interview, selling value, we're back to basics, selling value. So I'm loving it. The new catchphrase for McDonald's doesn't do it for you. You think going to something like we're the world's favorite place to eat.
Well, that gives you a reason to say, wow, they must be doing something right. I mean, look at that. I mean, that's people buy what other people buy.
Good point. All right, let me throw somebody at the other end of the spectrum, Sears.
Well, Sears has lost its way primarily because it's got overrun by a lot of big box retailers that roll into town, Walmarts and a lot of big things. Sears really is all about their brands, Craftsman Tools, Kenmore Appliances, Weather Beater Paint. I mean, they should focus on those brands. In other words, this would be the home of some of the America's best brands is what they should focus on. They can't win on price. They have to win on how good their brands are. Kenmore, Craftsman, they got to tell their brand stories and say, hey, this is the place you come. The problem with Sears is they're thinking about selling those brands or moving them to other retail operations. You know, they had Kmart and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's a mistake. They're going to live or die on the power of Craftsman and Kenmore and their other brands.
Interesting. Interesting strategy for them, somewhat different than with the path that they're down. How about a superstar, Apple?
Huh. Everybody wishes they were Apple.
Yes, they do.
Look, what Apple has is, number one, they got the best chief marketing officer in the history of the business, and his name is Steve Jobs.
Mm. Yeah.
Luckily, he's the CEO and the chief marketing officer. And number two, they have built their brand around innovation, new ideas. You know, they wiped out Walkman with the iPod.
Yes.
And they did a big number with the iPhone, because the iPhone is really the first computer phone. It's funny, they call it a smartphone. It's really a computer phone with little apps on it. And, you know, people look at it like, and they treat it like a computer. And that's why that's successful. I think the iPad will be successful because it combines a lot of things. Their retail strategy is brilliant.
Yes.
Those stores are something to see. And the way they're organized. And they have become a cult brand.
Mm.
And they got their fans in there pouring over their stuff. You know, what their next act is, who's to tell? But their biggest problem is Steve Jobs falls over. That's going to be a problem.
Well, he had that problem with his health, the liver problem,
the liver replacement,
and it was very difficult.
Or some liver, something, yeah.
Some on Wall Street were calling for his head because he did not disclose that, and he is so instrumental to Apple, you know, as he said.
He is the best, and they have the best advertising in the business. They got some of the best innovation in the business. They got the best retail strategy in the business. They bet the best design in the business. Pretty impressive. Now, you got to remember, they're still not a player. You take your basic PC, well, that's still the big horse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Mac has gained some market share, but I still think the PC is probably still 85% share, and the Mac is maybe 15, if that.
If that. Last numbers I read was 8 to 10%, Jack.
That's about it. And so everybody says, wow, they're killing PC. No, they're not.
No. Now, let's go back to Apple for just one more second before we move on and talk about the iPad, because I think iPad is a unique branding and marketing issue. In the past, Apple didn't invent personal computers. Well, they kind of did with the Apple II, but the Macintosh didn't invent personal computers. The iPhone did not invent smartphones. The iPad really, and the
iPod
other
one, was a,
iPod
was a trees out there. Yeah,
I mean there was the Walkman. You mentioned it yourself.
Yeah, well that was not digital, but there were M3 players out there. But you're right. They really preempted the whole category.
Right, but iPad is a brand new category. How's that going to play? Because they're creating a tablet computer, and tablet computing has never caught on in this country.
It's a good question, and it's hard to predict. I think. I see an awful lot of these things out there, and I think what's making that product, it's not so much a new category, it's a multi-category. Now, as it does a lot of things, it does that you can read books on it, you can do a number of different things on it. So in a way, it sort of jumped on the tablet and made it a multi-purpose type of machine. And will it replace people on, you know, their PCs that you see on airplanes? Are people going to live with that? I don't know. How big will that category be? Because you're right, it combines a number of things, and then there's going to be competition coming in there.
Yeah.
So it's a hard call, because it's a little confusion there. It's what do I buy that for? You know, do I buy it because I can read books on it, or watch movies on it, or do computing on it, or you know, that's going to be the interesting question. Multi-purpose things are always a little tricky.
Yeah, they are. We're talking to Jack Trout, everybody. His book, Repositioning, is really just a phenomenal read if you're in business, if you're in marketing at all. Jack, last question on the quick fire, then we can move on to something else. And this is sort of the other end of the spectrum from Apple, and it is the magazine Newsweek.
Oh, big trouble. Well, they had to change. Newsweek had to change, and in my book Repositioning, I actually tell them what they should have done. They should have become Opinion Week. They really had some of the best columnists in the business, and that's what they were talking about. And this became a magazine for, it's not about news, it's about opinions and what's going on, and smart observations about what's going on. They could have done that, but it's a little late now. A lot of their best talent, well, Fareed Zakaria, he has moved to Time Magazine.
All right.
So in a way, that was their window, and I'm afraid that idea is sort of gone. So I think, I don't know what they're going to become right now, but Time is going to become, I think, the ultimate remainder in that category.
Well, if you exclude The Economist, I would have to agree with you. The sound that you hear is the sound of Newsweek flushing. We're talking to Jack Trout, everybody. And let me ask you, Jack, changing subjects again, away from the quick fire to something new. What impact does new media have on positioning?
It's no impact. It's the new media essentially is another medium. It's another way to tell your story. Positioning is fundamental to everything you're doing. In other words, what is your story? Good marketing is good storytelling. What your positioning is how you differentiate your product in the mind. So that's what you have to do. Now up, all right, how do I communicate? Because that's the subject of today's meeting. How do I communicate? Well, mm-hmm. Wait, you got your traditional media. I can tell my story. If I got a lot of money, I can go on television, or I can do newspapers or magazines. And now I have the new media out there that I can also go on. It's not easy on the new media. You don't have. It's not a good interruptive media. People don't like to have their computing interrupted. The people who use the new media aren't. They hate to be sold. It's a little tricky. So it's a work in progress. People haven't really figured out how to use the medium, but positioning is still the constant.
All right,
in other words, I have to find a way to tell my story using the new media, as well as traditional media.
I love it. Good marketing is good storytelling. Wise words from Jack Trout. We've been talking to Jack Trout, everybody. His latest book, Repositioning, Marketing in an Era of Competition, Change, and Crisis. Jack, it's been a delight. If people hear the sound of your voice, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go?
Troutandpartners.com is the website. And go there and you'll pretty much find anything you need.
That's great. Troutandpartners.com. That's spelled out. That's not an ampersand.
Yeah, A-N-D, yep.
A-N-D. Great, Jack. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
See you, Bill.